Because I took this position.
Keep going.
With me, I took this position because I saw an opportunity for me to kind of like go ahead and just turn this, you know what I'm saying, turn this slow jog into a sprint for myself. And it threw a lot of people off because they didn't expect me to put in the bid for this position. They didn't think I was going to put my name in the hat. And when I got chosen for it, it caught everybody off guard too because I never really talked about the idea that I was even interested in it. Whereas other people who was interested in it was like talking like it was a like it was a
A
no
regular thing.
brainer. They were gonna choose me.
Yeah, but usually
And
when
I
you
ain't
go
said a
for
word.
different positions, most people aren't they aren't talkative about it unless there's somebody that they're really, really close to at the job. But it's not something that's open for discussion.
Right. Because it's like every no matter where you are in workforce. You could be working for a private firm. You could be working for a major corporation. You're always competing against somebody. You may not know because everybody's not as talkative. Some people are just like my driving motivation is so separated from the job that I never discuss the things that's keeping me motivated. I just stay locked in. You know what I'm saying? I keep my head, you know what I'm saying, in the direction of where I'm trying to go. So that way I'm not distracted. Whereas a lot of people be on the job making friends and buddying up and clicking up with people and all this old shit. So they made some changes and I adapted to those changes and I saw opportunity for me to kind of advance. I turned that advance into a sprint and I landed the position. I knew I was confident as hell I was going to get it anyway.
As
You
you
know what I'm saying?
should be.
I knew everything that they needed me to know. You know what I'm saying? That was a big part of me is working the way I work so I can learn what I need to learn. And when word got out that I got it, everybody was all somber and all thought off because, oh, I'm finna leave the department. I'm finna go on and do some other shit. And, I had a couple of haters. Haters exist. I don't, I again, I keep the mentality that if I got haters, I don't know who they are. They got to show me who they are because I don't pay no attention to them.
Yeah, I don't acknowledge the people that are jealous, envious, or hate. I
Right.
may speak on certain ones just because they might be the latest person, but they're doing the job that they are set out to do, and that
Yeah.
is hate. That is to be jealous. That is to be envious. That is to throw shade, smut, and dirt my way. But I don't have to acknowledge you. It just lets me
Right.
know that I'm doing something correct, you know. And maybe I need to step it up and do more so they have more to talk about, but. We don't have to acknowledge people that don't like us. For what?
Exactly. It's, and it, and it's and it's pointless to even try to entertain that shit, you know what I mean? It's pointless to kind of like to even acknowledge some of that shit because it doesn't enhance or advance what your objective is to do that. If anything, it's a distraction. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a few people that I didn't get along with in the beginning, like 2.5 years ago, that we actually built a rapport and we came to an understanding as to who we are and what we're about. And by the end of it, before I left the department, we was cool. They was like the people, they was like my people in terms of people I fuck with. And that's because outside of, I think we understood what we were competing for, and once we realized that our races were different, we kind of didn't bother each other. You see what I'm saying? Like, but when you know your direct competition is insecure about something, that's that insecure person is going to always try to throw a monkey wrench your
Always,
way. You
always.
know what I'm saying?
And
Whether
their
somebody.
main their main ab objective is to do that because they aren't confident in who they are and their ability.
Exactly.
So they have to always say something negative about you to make it seem like you are the problem. They always have to
Yeah.
make it seem like there's something going on wrong. Oh, he can't show up. See, he can't show up on time for work. See, he can't even do that. He can't even do this. See, the job is going to be AI. Why don't we just take the job away and make it from AI? And then the moment they decide to make it AI, hey, I can do the job. It's all these different things that a person like that'll do to make sure that they throw shade your way. Me, I walk through there with an air of confidence, do my job, go to lunch, take a break, come back to work,
Yeah.
finish the job, and go about my business. And a lot of times, I don't talk to people. I don't talk to people in the room, you know, and my boss will tell you that, or the bosses will tell you that. Yo, he come in, he do his job, and he leave. And then
That's how it's supposed
the
to be.
few jokes he cracks it with us, and he goes back to doing what he's doing. Except for the one young lady that I talked to in the office, and outside of her, I don't say nothing to nobody because
That's how it's
everything can
supposed
be
to be.
misconstrued.
And also, a lot of the times, those people don't realize that time is limited, right? And they're kind of like wasting their time. They feel like they'll sacrifice this amount of time on you as long as it keeps you from advancing. But what they don't realize is that if you're not reciprocating that same type of vibe and energy, all you're going to do is hurdle over that shit they threw your way.
Every time.
And you're gonna lap them anyway. You know what I'm
Every
saying? It
time.
happens every single time. And that's because, again, that insecurity is their Achilles heel. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't trip on none of it. It's to me, it's all a part of the game. It's all what it is.
Yeah.
Like, we all work for
I just
something.
call it the regular with the regular mundane routine and pussy shit. You know, like if you taking up if I take up that much space in your daily routine in your daily life, it means you ain't doing something. Something is fucked up about you.
Something ain't getting done. If you
Yeah.
focus on me, I mean, you're forgetting something else. Where your attention probably should be, something deserves your attention that you're not giving it because you're focused on me.
Yep, it means that you
You
need to step up and either get your ass out of here or go to another department or your lack of confidence or whatever it is, it's something that you're dealing with. Because it ain't me. I'm over here chilling, my guy. And I'm gonna always be
know.
over here chilling. I don't waste my time on shit that has nothing to do with me. I don't waste my time on insecure people. I don't waste my time on stuff that doesn't help me work and perform better at my job. I don't do that. I don't do that. My conversations are mostly between, even when I'm at work, I might send you guys a voice message. You understand? Well, I might send somebody, another one of the homies on the West Coast a voice message. I don't associate with them. It's a rarity, with the brothers that love sports in there. We may talk basketball, boxing, or football, but I speak to them, and then after that, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. And I go back to work. And sometimes I spend 10, 15 minutes with those guys just because I love the conversation that I have with them. You know what I mean? Some of them like to bet. I don't do the betting, but we may do some betting or whatever. But man, I don't concern myself with shit like that. You know, I think it's a waste of time. You know what I mean? For you in a position that you're trying to get to, there's no need for you to worry about what other people think or be sharing the information that, hey, I'm going, hey guys, are you guys okay with me going for this job? No, fuck that. Because if it was them, they wouldn't tell you. They would just do it.
One day they're there, the next day they'd be gone. You're like, what happened to that person? Oh, that person got a promotion. They're like, you think that's what it is also. Like, some people, like, I spent the last 2.5 years working 12-hour shifts. And I was working with a crew of people I never met before, with the exception of maybe like two people. So it was like one of the things where it's like we had to build a rapport, we had to get to know each other. I realized that a lot of those people in that department before I got there, were all kind of like burnt out mentally. I could tell that they had been going through the same routine and they kind of started personalizing the job. Me, I'm just learning new shit. I see it as an opportunity to learn new shit. I can apply some of the shit that I know from my previous roles into this department and kind of get these people, you know what I'm saying, spark a fire under people so we can get this shit cracking, because that's just how I am. You know what I'm saying? But when I started realizing that a lot of that was being rejected because they prefer their misery, I just start focusing on what my goals were at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, well, these people ain't for this. Well, I still got shit I'm trying to accomplish. I still got shit to do.
I'm not
So I
gonna
started.
become a, I'm not gonna be a part of what they have going on. I still have goals that I need to get accomplished. I'm gonna focus on that.
Facts.
You did nothing
Facts.
wrong. You did nothing wrong.
And I had one episode where me and this chick on the job had words. We had a meeting with my manager. And it was because there was a team of four of us that, and there was a piece of equipment that I was an owner of. It was a huge piece of equipment. And we were talking about what the plan was moving forward as far as maintenance. You know, I had a maintenance plan and shit like that. And this chick decides to derail the conversation to talk about her personal feelings about towards me and somebody else on the team. I let her get all her shit off. I ain't interrupt. I ain't interject. I want to hear what she had to say because I was like, all right, you got a problem with me, and I don't got no problem with you. All right, let's find out what this is. So she just starts saying a bunch of conjecture related type shit, like a bunch of her perception, her feelings on things versus like the reality of it, the facts. So when she got done saying everything she had to say, before my manager got to interject, I said, before you say anything, I want to address what she said about me. I can't say nothing about what she said about everything else or anybody else, but I'm going to address what she said about me. And she said something about I'll be gaslighting her or some shit like that. And I knew she was using the word way wrong, bro. But she said what she said. And once I started addressing, I in my mind, I had made bullet points. So I just started going down a list of shit that she started saying about me. And when it got to the disrespectful shit that she said, I just started going off. I just like, I don't give a fuck about what that has to do with anything because that has nothing to do with me. And I said the larger scheme, the largest problem I find is the fact that you did in this meeting what you do every fucking night. You deflect from the subject of the conversation and make it about you. I said that we came in this meeting to talk about this equipment ownership shit and the maintenance plan, and you made this whole meeting about you. And I said, I start going down this whole list of things of what the problem was with that. And I said, the fact that you threw my name in it means that now I got to address you. And I start talking about like what we just said about what my mission, my plan is for my life. And I said, whatever the hell you got going on, I said, you need to keep that shit to yourself next time. I said, or have this meeting privately with this person over here instead of with all us in the room. And I said, because now you made this very awkward. And now I got to talk to you like this. I got to talk to you like you're one of my kids. And I went in, and then I gave her like nine different examples of gaslighting. And at the end of it, I was like, now that's how you gaslight somebody. I said, can we continue on with this fucking meeting now, or do you got anything else you want to bitch about? And when I tell you HR got involved the next day, bro, they were like,
Wait, wait,
Will.
wait, wait. What was said in the meeting? Because the supervisor would have had to go after you said
The
that, right?
supervisor didn't say a word. The supervisor didn't say a word. The manager said nothing the whole time. I said what I said. And in fact, when I finished saying what I was saying, she just adjourned the meeting altogether.
Wow. It's
And
amazing.
what's
So
crazy?
that lets you know that that's something that had been on her mind, or you've been on her mind that entire time, that she is waiting to address that. But what was silly,
Wasn't expecting
narcissistic,
to have something to say back.
not just that you had something to say back, the fact that she would do it, and she could have addressed you at a later time. She could have put you to the side. Hey, Will, hey, let me talk to you over here about the situation that's going on. This is how I feel about these things here. And she didn't. So what she did was she tried to play it up and make it look like there are some inconsistencies or a lack of responsibilities or trust that she has in you in the meeting, and it didn't even make sense to the context of the meeting and what was actually going on. And again, if you really wanted to air something out or a grievance or something, you could have went and got a manager and pulled us both to the side and said,
You could
"Hey,
have been
let's
the
talk
three
like
of
this." Yeah.
them. And when HR came to talk to me, bro, I told him straight up. I said, you know what's crazy? I said, I never threatened her. I said, I cursed a lot, but I never cursed at her. You know what I'm saying? I said, however she took it, I said, her personal feelings, how she received that information is not my responsibility. I'm just here to provide the information. You know what I'm saying? I package the information. She can either receive it the way I deliver it, or she can process it and filter it through her emotions like she did. And I said, but she felt some kind of way about what I said, and that's fine. And I told him, I said, I don't take none of it back because again, I didn't make any lies. I didn't make up any lies. I didn't, you know what I'm saying, no untruths or anything like that. Everything I said was a byproduct of whatever she said. I said,
Right.
had she not said any of the things that she said about me that weren't true, I wouldn't have even addressed the whole conversation. None of it. We would have stayed on topic. But she
And
made it about me.
one of the other things they do is there are certain people in these work environments who are looking to cause dysfunction or try to rattle you. They're trying to rattle you, trying to find a way to rattle you. And I think we've had this conversation before. It don't matter what you say to me. It don't matter what you say. If my life ain't in danger, I don't really care too much about what you got to say, because my life experiences dictate that I don't really give a fuck what you got to say, and I'm not gonna be rattled by nobody talking to me. That's why when those guys be in there having panic attacks or they be freaking out over stuff, I just calmly do what I'm supposed to do and I move on and I get the work done. But there's always that one or two people, bro, that's gonna be in there trying to rattle you and get you off your square. And you just have to you address it the right way. You did. You addressed it the right way. And then after you did it, y'all got back on business and y'all took care of what y'all need to take care of it. There's no other way to do it.
I think that, and this is something I always reflect on, me and my brother talk about it all the time. The gift and the curse of coming from where we come from is that we come from a world of being in survival mode. You know what I'm saying? You kind of make a lot of tough decisions, which don't seem so tough in the beginning because that's all you know. But when you start looking at it from a logical perspective, you realize that those reckless decisions I made, I probably could have did better. You know what I'm saying? Where a lot of people are living in a privileged position where all they got to do is just jump from this lane to the next lane because they're already in the race. We got into the race late, bro, in terms of like getting out here and getting to this corporate bread and shit like that. But what we bring is so vital to our personal success that we can't allow none of that other shit to kind of like get in the way because we can't relate to that other shit. That other shit is trivial to us. Like people and their feelings and shit like that. I don't come from a world where people are so fucking emotionally vulnerable. I can't. It's weird to me to see people lose their shit because of a decision that or an outcome didn't land the way they wanted it to land.
Somebody
I'm
said
used to like,
something, or they didn't like an email or something like that. You
ooh,
know, like that's beneath me to react to stuff like
that's
that. And I
trivial.
tell, yeah, that's like the world that we come from. Like you said, like emotions have to be put to the side so you can make logical decisions, so people's lives aren't in danger, and including yours. So you have to do things a certain way. So when I'm in an office setting, that's easy to me.
It's easy money. You know what I'm
It's
saying? It's
easy.
like what happens is like the other side of that is the fact that they have tools and equipment in a virtual sense that can really fuck us up that we're not aware of. And that comes from people using the corporate policy and shit like that to kind of throw a monkey wrench in your plan and or using their connections to kind of like thwart you. And you know what I'm saying? Like, because a lot of people are fucking they got the job because they got a friend that's in there, or they in a position because their dad used to be a manager there. All these different, you know what I'm saying, these different factors that don't necessarily be evident to us coming in the door. You see what I'm saying? You kind of learn about it as you go. You kind of experience it as you see things happen. But at least we have the ability, we have early skills of adaptation. We know how to adapt. We know how to kind of like read the room and kind of like maneuver a particular way, whereas they kind of move rigidly. They're so rigid and they don't have a fluidity about themselves. So that's why they have these emotional breaks in their character.
Even
You
when
know what I'm saying?
these different types of people are just trying to have a conversation with you, it's kind of rigid because they go
Yeah, they
from
don't.
hi, how you doing, how was your day, or how was your weekend, to trying to have a conversation about life or whatever it may be. And it's off-putting because the pieces don't fit, squares and circles, you know what I mean? Like they don't really match up well. So that's another thing that I try to avoid. If you ain't my people, you ain't my people. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not to be mean or anything, but
Small
yeah, like we don't even have to worry about the small talk. Let's just nip it in the bud. Let's keep it at this right here. Hey, how you
talk.
doing? This is what I need you to do, and I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna get out the way. And then later on, if you want to talk, we can have a decent little conversation. But don't lean over into the lane where you're not from, and you never had any experiences like that. It's off-putting, and it becomes uncomfortable, and it becomes frustrating that you would even want to have a conversation about shit you don't understand. And then tell me you
Yeah.
understand it, but you're saying everything wrong.
Cause they don't have like a genuine interest in anything they're asking you about most of the time. It'd be like this curiosity versus a true, you know what I'm saying, a true interest. And like I noticed that like a lot of times, like they and out here where I'm at, I already know it's already a foregone conclusion that most of them haven't even come in contact with Black people outside of like a stop at the gas station. You know what I'm saying? Or at work or some shit like that. But in terms of like living amongst us, they don't see us every day outside of TV and shit like that. So like perception for them is skewed. Whereas I have an encyclopedic understanding of their life, mainly because they can't help but to show us who they are. You see what I'm saying? They make up who we are so they can sell it to each other. But they can't help but to show us who they are, even though most of it is a lie in itself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the
We can see
validation of for themselves.
Yeah.
This is what we think you guys do on a daily routine. That's just them trying to validate it for themselves, and
Yeah.
We don't need you trying to validate us. We know who we are and we know what our lives look like. The news
Look
is
at
telling you all that we shoot up everything and that we are fatherless children. Well, six is a father of three beautiful kids. So we know that's not, that's not true. My buddy, I
right.
got plenty of buddies and big brothers or guys who are once upon a time like big brothers to me who have who raised their children. 50-year-old men who got kids are going off to college or finishing college. So we know that all these examples are not true. You're just trying to validate the stuff that is being seen on TV and portrayed by by a group of people who own these media outlets and own these social medias and things like that, that portray these images that we don't validate. I don't walk around saying, yeah, I love being a gangster. I don't walk around saying I love being around drug dealers and selling dope to my community. That's foolishness. That's foolishness talk. So for you to try to validate yourself through what you see doesn't, it doesn't sit well to me, and it's uncomfortable. And it's all, again, back to off-putting, we go back to that. Like, yo, I don't even want to have no conversation with you because you don't really know what it's like to be around people like me.
Think about it like this. It's like a new, it's a newfound thing that I kind of been really observing where people are hardcore about believing what an artist says in their songs. Like, it gotta be true. Or that mentality that you get on, you should never leave the hood. That type of deal. I remember coming up, like, it was always encouraging to kind of get out of that. You know what I'm saying? It
Get
was
away,
nobody was
get out the neighborhood.
nobody was in it to stay in it forever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas nowadays it's almost like you're a sucker if you leave. Or you're a sucker if it ain't true in your raps. Where the truth of the matter is like, storytelling has always been a major part of rappers' raps.
Well,
But now
remember
it's
the
like,
other part of it was you ain't keeping it real if you don't come back. It wasn't about you not leaving, but if you don't come back, you
yeah,
weren't
you
keeping it
don't
real.
come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder who sold those narratives. I honestly don't believe it was us who came up with them ideas. You know what I'm saying? I believe that those are like ideas, those are corporate ideas. Those are like narratives pushed on artists to kind of make them more relatable, so that when white people view the art, they view it from a authenticity perspective, when really all they're doing is just buying a product. That's where you get your Drakes and shit like that from. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get the artists who are easily digestible, who can, you know what I'm saying? He's the entryway for people who can't touch that gangster shit, but they can see it through the lens of a Drake. So because he's collabing with these artists, he's standing next to a 21 Savage. You know what I'm saying? He's standing next to this artist, to that artist. And because Drake is the entryway, he's the placebo. You know what I'm saying?
Have
That
you
type
had
of deal.
time? Have you had time to watch that movie, American Fiction? What did you think of that?
I thought that was a brilliantly written movie, man.
I thought that
I think
movie was
that.
well put together, man.
And it kind of speaks to this. Like, he literally said, and he said, I wrote this from a fictitious perspective because I knew that these motherfuckers over here want to eat this just to see if it was gonna work.
And here we are talking about a man with a PhD. He has all these literary works out here for
And
people to check out,
nobody.
and no one wants to buy him because they're too smart. You know what I mean? Because they go by a certain code of ethics in his writings or whatever it may be. But the moment he made a book about, I forgot the name of what the book was about, a gangster from the neighborhood or whatever. My what is it? Huh?
The name of the book was Fuck. And he wrote it. And he wrote it from the perspective of a gangster dude who had conflict with his dad.
Pathology.
And the motherfuckers, they loved that shit. And they thought
They ate
it was
that
an
shit up.
Story. They thought it was autobiographical.
They thought
And
that
he
shit was real, man.
And his pseudonym was a dude who was fresh out of prison. And no, none of them thought, hey, let's find out whether or not this is a real person.
Nah, it was just
But that's how I
real,
know.
quote unquote, real to them. Because the story just sounded, because of the way the story sounded.
It's all about packaging, bro. I think that speaks to like almost everything that goes. I'm sorry, excuse me. Everything that goes on for us in almost any industry. You know what I'm saying? Like I think about like when I tell people, and I rarely even tell people I'm from Chicago, but when I do, the questions come. Like clockwork, the questions come.
You know Chief Keith? Did you grow up around this person? Did you grow up around that person?
The questions about like what side of town. If I say I grew up on the south side of Chicago, then they brain start going through all these different
You
stories
know
of
about
the
Old
south side.
Block?
Yeah, you been to Old Block? What's Old Block like? Have you lost any friends to gun violence? Oh, this old goofy shit. Like, what the fuck?
Man, I see y'all.
But
Y'all be shooting up everything every weekend, man.
I had to remember where they get the information from. You dig what I'm
I
saying?
wouldn't know
I had
nothing
to.
about that.
I'm like, dude, like, you gotta. I'm like, let's say it in my mind. Like, you always have to consider, you know what I'm saying, people's purview. You have to always consider, like, how small of a lens they're viewing the world through. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been places, I've seen things, I've been to cities I didn't know had the level of violence that it had because the city was so small. You know what I'm saying? I've been in neighborhoods in Chicago where motherfuckers live like they living down south with their doors unlocked. So it's parts of Chicago where motherfuckers live peacefully.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. We ain't talking about the suburbs. We talking about in the city.
Like in the city,
Where people are
literally.
actually neighbors.
Yeah,
Neighbors. And
everybody know each other on the
yeah.
block. They motherfuckers don't even have their curtains closed. You know what I'm saying? You know you're from the hood when all your curtains closed. You
Man,
know what
all
I'm
my
saying?
shit be
Motherfuckers be having
closed.
out. Motherfuckers up north be having their fucking living room window open.
Wide open, wide open. When you walk through certain parts of Hyde Park, certain parts of Hyde Park,
Yeah.
neighbors got their doors open, the windows open. You're like, yo, these motherfuckers is crazy. But they ain't worried about that.
Motherfucker don't even be using air conditioning. They be letting fresh air blow through their
Fresh
crib.
air, yeah, they don't be caring about that. I walked past a couple weeks ago when I decided to hang out in an area. I walked, matter of fact, I think that's where my buddy was at. Maybe that was a month ago or 2 months. We walked through the neighborhood. He's like, damn, they got the blinds wide open. I was like, yeah, that's the way they do it around here. He's like, they ain't worried about motherfuckers running in there. I was like, no, look at the area, bro. They ain't worried about it. I'm like, that's us because we're so used to situations like that. They
That
don't
they
care
know
about
each other.
that. They
These
all know
motherfuckers
each
own.
other.
They own this building.
Right. They
You
own
know what I'm saying?
the houses, they own the real estate, they own the property, they own the property on in the area. They're not worried about that. They're not worried about nobody running up in here. You a fool if you run up in there.
Ownership is it changes everything. Motherfuckers renting. Like people, when you live in a neighborhood full of rentals, people move in and out all the time.
All the time.
There's constant motion.
Yeah.
So you have moments where nobody even cares to know who their neighbors are because shit, they might not be here next year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Kids don't come outside and play, none of that shit.
Yeah, it's a different look to have. Even on the subject of that, man, like growing up, we always kept our window. The windows would be open around a certain time, but at nighttime, that shit would be closed. But when we went out there, it was like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. They had that shit. They had their door open. They had you just see clearly into it. They was having a good ass time in there too. And he was like, "Do that ever bother you?" I was like, "No." I was like, "I wish we could do that shit more. It just means that there's a lack of trust and respect for the people that you're around."
That's one good thing. Like I'm fortunate about where like I have my blinds and my curtains open where I live, shit like that. The only curtains I keep closed is in my bedroom. I got blackout curtains and shit, and that's only because I was working nights. But now that my shift changed, I don't have to really have my blackout curtains closed all the time and shit. But in the neighborhood I'm in, it's like shit, everybody know everybody. You know what I'm saying? We know each other. And it's a different feeling, man.
It
People don't
is.
understand coming up where we came up that that's kind of like the norm. You know what I'm saying? Like I grew up in a neighborhood, I grew up on 80th and Carpenter. Everybody on the block knew everybody. My mom name was everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But before we moved away, I think we moved away when I was like 13. And that's when all the movement in the city started to happen. The gangbanging started to kick up, shit like that, right? By the time I was about 16, 17 years old, it was already up. It was already on and cracking. You know what I'm saying? It was new people in every neighborhood because niggas was
Yeah.
getting Section 8 vouchers and shit like that. People mama was moving them all around. So if you was a GD, you move where the stones was at. You ain't know that. You grow up amongst stones. Now it's beef in the streets. You know what
Every
I'm
time
saying?
they
That
see you,
type
where
of
you
shit.
from, little buddy?
Yeah. So, and then by the
Yeah.
time I had kids of my own, it was already over. You know what I'm saying? They started tearing the projects down and shit like that. And that was more movement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
And
saying?
they
It's
said
like,
start moving people around the city, just throwing them anywhere. No, not really caring where they put them.
anywhere they could get a fucking Section 8 voucher. If the landlord accepted Section 8, a lot of these mamas didn't have the skill set to look for nothing in a decent neighborhood or in a decent area. They didn't have the time and resources, so they got what was convenient. But what was convenient was not really good because of you know what I'm saying, the gang shit. Chicago being the type of city it is, you know what I mean. But the culture is so heavy in the streets that a lot of that was a recipe for disaster.
It big time, big time. That's where all that a lot of that death came from, because so many of these kids were being taken from the Henry Horners, the Cabrini Greens, the Robert Taylor, and placed in these environments where they, you know, where they were the new people, but they still had that, they had still had that active savage mentality, you know, and they was gonna do whatever they was gonna do to make a dollar out of nothing. So once those project buildings got turned down, you had so much more violence run rampant because these kids were out here trying to make a name for themselves and make sure that they, you know, that they could eat out here. So that was that, like that 5 to 10 year run where that violence in Chicago just went crazy and no one cared. None of the no nobody cared. Nobody cared about the life expectancy. No one cared about their neighbor. It was just. It just wild, man. Just wild. It was what they say. It was more deaths here in 1 year than over in Afghanistan or some shit like that. That's crazy to think about.
It's just like it's an interesting dynamic, especially as an adult. And you remember life before it, and you watched it as it happened, and you know where we are now, right? And to be a part of that era where it kicked up. And it kind of plateaued, then it kicked up again. You see what I'm saying? It was like, because I remember the streets was active like bad in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And then kind of plateaued in the late 90s. But then all of a sudden, like right around 06, 07, niggas just went nuts. You know what I'm saying? Probably later than that. I'd say
I would say
09,
later than that.
probably 09, between 09 and 014, something like that.
Yeah.
09 and 14, it got real crazy. And
Around
that's
10,
when,
yeah,
like,
10, 11, 10, 11, or 12. That's when it really just went haywire.
crazy.
Yeah.
It's not that it got any less crazy now, but it's plateaued now because it's so common. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's very little left in the way of shocking you now. If anything, it'll fatigue you. You have violence fatigue now, you have trauma fatigue.
Yeah.
Now, because it's just so common, now it's like, damn, they're doing it again.
Yeah. I
You know what
was
I'm
listening to
saying?
someone say this recently. They were saying we have more violence happening now than we ever had in like 10 or 20 years. And I asked them, I said, are we really has it really gotten more violent, or is it just the access to information that we have that's making it look that way? Is it just because it's being publicized and it's on social media more than it was before?
Or are they just able to collect more data now than they were before?
That too,
You know?
that's another question to pose.
Because I think that the violence is, I think any measure of violence is a bad measure of violence when it comes to, like, you know what I'm saying, what you see in our community, because our community, like, they always, like, I see the statistics all the time. I hear people talk about it all the time that it's always like, time, opportunity, you live, you know what I'm saying? You live in the proximity of the same people that'll hurt you, right? But, and I see it here. I see white people committing crimes against each other all the time, right? But the way it's happening in our community, I'm almost certain that it ain't just us doing it to us. I think it's a motherfucking serial killer or something, the way this shit be going down, bro.
Sometime.
I believe it might be a whole fucking a task force that's the whole job is to stir up the damn hornet's nest in the hood.
That's what I be thinking sometime, and only because of some young boys years ago telling me and showing me that it ain't them out here getting active like that. all the time. They say there's unmarked cars that roll through the neighborhood, and they do shit in the neighborhood, and then they bounce out. So sitting there on the block one day watching how it was happening and asking them, did they know who that was? And they was like, no, we don't know who that car is. And then going to the other side and trying to find out who it was, and nobody knows, is very suspicious to me. Yeah, so it could be some type of task force, or it could be some type of some I don't know, some demonic forces at play that's involved. I actually shouldn't say at play, some demonic forces involved, but man, some of these kids are just bloodthirsty too, though, bro.
Some provocateurs, man. I believe that is some young dudes. I mean, it's always been like, there's always been the thing where like the young dudes out there really trying to make a name for themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's always been that. Always been young hitters and shit like that. Somebody would always be able to pay a young dude to do certain shit, right? But because the lack of leadership means that there's very little people putting money out there in the streets the way people talk. People like to talk and say like it's some nigga out here who pulling strings like he fucking like he ghost or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like nigga, this, you know what I'm saying? Like ain't too many damn niggas out here that's kingpins paying these young niggas to kill each other at this level, at this degree. At this point, it's just a bunch of niggas who hate each other
Yeah, that's what I think.
because it ain't even about the gangs no more, because niggas is all renegades.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they wave a flag. They just wave a flag out of habit. They don't
Yeah.
even need to claim a set no more, but they do it. You know
Yeah, I don't think
what
it's
I mean?
nobody in charge. I think they have all said, fuck these guys, and we're gonna do what we wanna do out here. And we just gonna
But. Man,
run rampant.
because.
'Cause we all got guns. Y'all gave them to us, and we just gonna do what the fuck we wanna do. And we dare y'all to step in and get involved. So that's really what it just looks like now. But what's going on, man? Welcome to the podcast. This is Full Profits Podcast. Six Bretta. How's
Yeah,
everything?
and life is good, bro. Life is good. Just reflecting on some of the, trials and tribulations, the ups and the downs. You know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful I came out of a lot of the bullshit. I'm looking at what bullshit I have ahead of me, and I'm ready for it. That's how life is, man. A middle-aged man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I
With
got this
this
far.
word, with this new position that you got, so does it put you back on days, or do you still stay on nights?
Well, this one ain't gonna have me on second shift for a while, so it's like it ain't bad. I'll be up during the night. You know what I'm saying? I get off at 11, and I do what I gotta do. It works better for me because I could sleep some good hours without having to be up all night if I don't want to be up all night. So I could literally just come home when I get off work and go to sleep, and then I get up in the morning and do what I want to do. If I want to work on some music in the morning, I could do that. You know what I'm saying? I have an opportunity to kind of be a little bit more active on my own time.
Working the shift that you were working at, the overnight or graveyard shift, how hard was it to manage your sleep? Or were you used to it?
I was used to it, bro. I work nights. I've been working nights since me and you met. You know what I'm saying? I work nights almost 20 years, bro. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is like the last 2.5 years I was working 12-hour shifts. So I'd be working 2 days, I'd be off 2 days, work another 2 days, and I'd be off three. You know what I'm saying? It'll rotate week after that, which was good. I like those hours. I like that ability to have some off time and do the things I want to do on my off time. Have 3 day weekends. I could schedule some vacation time, and I could end up with a week off if I needed that. But what my ultimate goal is, I had to kind of like give up that to kind of get where I'm trying to go and go back to, say normal 8 hour shifts where I get some good sleep and kind of work on my body, work on my health again. You know what I'm saying? That's really important in working in hours and trying to get that money, because the money gonna come. It's either, because if I don't get that money that way, I still got to get it some way. And that's
Absolutely.
how I looked at it. That
Absolutely.
was the point, part of me taking this promotion, taking this job. Give me the opportunity to get some of my life back so I could be productive.
When you went for the job, did they ever say, hey, these are the other people that are going for the job, or did they leave that a blank slate?
No, you could like when you put up when you put in for the job, like list they publicly on a site list everybody who applied for the job so that you know who you're up against. You know what I'm saying? And once you kind of like put your name in the hat, then it's up to you to kind of make yourself shine. Once you know who you're up against, you got to make yourself shine up against those people. And honestly, there was only one other name on that whole list. There were like 12 people that put in for it. And I was at the top of the list because of my seniority. But it was only one other person on that list I kind of had concern about. And that's only because me and him kind of, you know what I'm saying, did this together in terms of like building our, you know, so work approaching this job this way we did. But I was kind of the shoo-in for it because the department that I got this role in was one of the positions, one of the departments I was in a few years ago that I helped kind of like turn around. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like laid the foundation for everything that this department got going on, you know? So it kind of worked out for me.
Did that person that you were kind of like one in one with, did they congratulate you, or was there some animosity or disdain?
They actually was kind of more surprised because again, I kept it to myself that I put in for it. So when he saw my name in it, he was kind of like, damn, I gotta go up against you. I'm like, dude, don't look at it like you're going against me, bro. I said, just do put your best foot forward. I'm gonna put my best foot forward and you know what I'm saying, we'll just see what happened. And he was like, you're gonna get it. I said, that's cool if I do. I said, you ain't losing nothing if I get it. You know
But
what I'm saying?
don't just up and think that I got it off the rip. You know what I mean? Do your
Yeah,
job to
it's about
earn.
time.
Yeah, do your
If you
job
want
to
to get
earn
it,
it.
yeah, that's it. Present your, you know what I'm saying? Present yourself with the most valuable information and about you, and they got your file. They know what they can look at your work record and see what your value is. If they want you in that position, they'll put you in there. And I might be the shoe-in. That's how I look. I might be the shoe-in, but that don't stop you from being great. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean I got this role. Jobs don't, you know what I'm saying? Jobs don't start presenting themselves. They keep on bringing new roles out.
Absolutely. Have you had a chance to check out that Terrence Howard interview with Eric Weinstein on Joe Rogan podcast?
Was just watching that 2 days ago. I knew
Okay,
it was
so
going
it's
to happen.
fresh in your mind. So it's fresh in your
Yeah.
mind. What you think? What did you think of that?
I think that it's two, it's a two, I had two trains of thought on it. My first train of thought is I'm glad Eric Weinstein challenged, you know what I'm saying, what he saw as to be flaws in Terrence Howard's mathematics and science background and kind of pushed him to kind of like explain certain things. But I don't like the way he spoke to him. He spoke to him like a child. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of, what I get from that is like this arrogance. I think that historically, a lot of great thinkers have always been shot down and considered to be crazy or don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But in our day and age, we regard them as being ahead of their time. We don't know what the future has in store in terms of like proving or disproving Terrence Howard. Terrence Howard might change the world. We won't live to see it. You know what I'm saying? But his science might be something that get revisited and they be like, fuck, we should have been checking on this dude's fucking, you know what I'm saying, mathematics the whole time. You see what I'm saying?
I
Whereas
hear
Eric
you.
Weinstein knows what he knows. We
I
all
hear
just
you.
know. You know what I'm saying?
I don't
But
think
I
that he
can't just.
was talking to Terrence Howard like he was a child. I think that Terrence Howard, it got to a certain point where he wouldn't allow him to speak. Or every time Eric Weinstein or Stein, every time he says something, Terrence always tried to rebuttal it immediately or tell him, I have something for that. I have something for that. He was trying to tell him, no. This is what you're doing. You keep telling me there's stuff that you have, but you're missing the point that I'm trying to make. You get halfway to the bridge, but you never cross over to the other side, because when I talk, you try to take credit away from that or present more proof of this and that and the third, but you never cross over the bridge to prove your point.
Right.
He's like, you get
He
halfway there, and then you forget to interlock everything and make everything fit. And that's all I was like, because at first it sounded like he was just trying to allow him the space and opportunity to prove himself and prove his theories and everything like that. And I think he just got so fed up with it, where he got not, I shouldn't say fed up. He may have gotten agitated and irritated by what the information that he was hearing. He's like, all right, look, I'm gonna give you this in a short wave, all right? what you're doing is stupid or it doesn't fit. And the reason why it doesn't fit is because you don't cross the bridge. You get halfway and then your documents or your theories break down because there is no proof or evidence and you don't follow the actual curriculum. Now,
I can agree with that.
Okay.
I can agree with that.
All right,
I think
cool.
that with Terrence Howard, I think what you're saying is true about Terrence Howard. I think Terrence Howard was he was adamant about proving his theories, but he wasn't ever bringing the proof. He wanted to be heard, but he wasn't bringing adequate information to be heard. He just wanted to present what he had on the surface versus digging layers down, whereas Eric Weinstein was all about getting down into it. You know what I'm saying? And Terrence Howard was like, okay, you said something I can agree with, but you also said something I can challenge. So I'm going to go for the challenge, as opposed to trying to find that happy medium and trying to learn something in the conversation.
Right. He kept saying, I have patents. I have patents. I have patents. Patents are one thing. Anybody can get a patent for anything. There's a patent for the swine flu. There's a patent for COVID. There's a patent for damn near everything, man. So that. Say what?
There's patents for seeds.
Yeah, there's patents for everything, bro. But the information that he's presenting every time Eric Weinstein said something different where he went to another thought, he has something else for that. And he says, see, that's what you keep doing. You keep presenting more information, but you don't have the proof to back it up. And that's why in the science community, that's why they're rejecting you, because you don't have the correct proof to all of your claims. You get halfway there and then the bottom falls out of it.
Have you heard the saying that the science community is a religious cult?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that to be true, meaning that, you know, how like certain theologians kind of like lean heavily into how they can interpret the word of God through the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And they feel like because they're able to do that, i.e. the Vatican, Baptist preachers, blah, 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 they can kind of like, they can corner the market on that information. You know what I'm saying? So like a lot of people kind of lean heavily into whatever a scientist has discovered. Oh, science says this. Yeah. All you gotta do is put science says this in front of something, and anything but following that, people dare not question it because science says it. Or
the way that they went over to Africa and said that they know better, they know more about Egypt than we do, so they invented Egyptology. So we don't know we don't know anything. It's based on what they believe is correct, you know, and the people who invented the Egyptology, you know, if you're not following their curriculum, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So you're ostracized from the community and they laugh at you. So the same thing is happening to Terrence Howard.
Yeah. And that's not to say that Terrence Howard is right, but it's like, if you can't challenge what they're saying, because they're too busy challenging you, it's kind of hard to have that conversation. And it's kind of like, you can't do it without dealing with the ridicule of it, because the same thing happens if a person says, I'm agnostic, but the only reason why I'm agnostic is because of these elements, this, this, and this. And then somebody who's a theologian, they may not even be religious, but because they're so heavily studied in the Bible, that their perception of what you're saying comes off as being minor to them, because you're speaking on what they consider themselves to be experts in. Like, nigga, I got a degree in this, you don't, so therefore my degree trumps your, like, you like Terrence Howard might be constantly ongoing and growing I don't even know the fucking word for it, bro, in terms of like what he's researching. You know what I'm saying? What he because we all experiment in our own ways, right? What I do musically, I can easily say that I probably know more than somebody else, but then there's somebody who got Grammys who look down on what I do. You know what I'm saying? Because they have the accolades to and the they have the accolades and the props
network.
Of people who work in that field to say, nah, this nigga over here, he a bum, because he's speaking on something that we know everything about.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's like they become
and I
cults.
Do it on such I do it on such a high level that what you're doing is admissible. We don't have to pay attention to that.
Yeah. But like Terrence Howard, you used to be an actor. If you were really serious about this shit, you should have just foregone acting and just took this shit 100% all the way through.
Right, you
Because
should
now
have
I can't take
dedicated
you
yourself to
seriously.
this. Right. Not only were you an actor, but from what we understand in a tabloid, you beat a woman or some shit like that, whether it be true or
Oh,
not. You know what
totally
I mean?
irrelevant. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
all
irrelevant to
that.
what we're talking about. Yeah.
All that. Just to ostracize him from the science community. And but Eric Weinstein even said that. He said, I want to apologize to you because of the behavior of my colleagues. They're not, but he said, but the other part is the reason why they're not gonna let you in is because you're not getting across the bridge. You're not finishing your thoughts. Here's the thing that I do like about what Terrence Howard was doing. He was presenting concepts that could possibly work. Possibly.
Like the linchpin.
The linchpin,
Like
correct.
what he did with that, and Eric Weinstein told him, he said that the reason why you were able to patent this is because you patented an equation that's short of pi. A number, you know what I'm saying, an idea that works that isn't this. And he started, you know, telling him how brilliant the idea was, but that doesn't make what he's saying versus what he's done match. You know, and I think Terrence Howard needs that type of pushback though. If he really believes in what he's trying to do, he needs to have that.
Yeah, because it may make him go back in there and look at, all right, what am I not doing? What am I
Yeah.
not doing? If they're telling me that okay, Eric actually sat, someone actually sat down and had a conversation with me about my work and the things that I'm trying to do, my theories and my concepts. So if he
Right.
had that conversation with me, maybe he'll have some a couple more conversations in the background, away from everybody else, away from prying eyes, and we can
Yes.
go
Yeah.
over these things, and I can do the work and get better at what I'm doing and go from concepts and theories to actual hard proof and hard evidence. Because that's what I was,
Absolutely.
that's the only thing I was saying. It's like, you're just missing a hard proof. If you had the hard proof, bro, you would be all right.
Yeah. And also, I believe that, I mean, again, to my example of, like, you know, saying musicality, I can see the same thing. I've had those conversations with people coming up when I was making beats on the PlayStation, and it was like it was fucking people up. I was able to do that, but because I didn't know music theory and all these other things that I was able to kind of incorporate, it kind of like it put me in a lane of amateur beat maker to these people. You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand MIDI and all these different things. So I went back and I taught myself these things. I taught myself hexadecimal equations and stuff like that, shit that I didn't know had anything to do with music. You know what I'm saying? And it's always a constant endeavor to learn. You know what I'm saying?
Every
And
day.
I think that I think the science community is no different. I think that what he was saying about how and I don't it, this kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I understood this when he was saying when Eric when Terrence was saying it, but I don't think Eric was really trying to hear it when Terrence was talking about how the musical keys actually correlate. You know what I'm saying? With something that's in the key of E. So, you know what I'm saying, all of these, like how vibrations affect us. And how vibrations, how that actually correlates to how what he considered to be the how gravity works. You know what I'm saying?
It's
Gravity
not
is
gravity,
he
it's electricity.
right. And he was and Eric was like, no, you're wrong. And the only reason why is because, again, you only know what you know. Maybe he did find that to be a factor. And because he wasn't able to present evidence and proof, it's easy to reject.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I
And that
think
was the
that
only, that's the only thing I kept saying over and over again, like, if you believe that it is electricity instead of gravity, you got to show it, bro.
yeah.
You
When
have
he
to
said
show it. You can't just say that.
what he said about how the planets are moving away from the sun. And he said that in X amount of billions or trillions of years, you'll start to see like a new planet replace Earth and shit like that. He was saying, like, because that's how the way he was explaining it to me, I understood it to be that way, because like we learned that nothing matter doesn't it doesn't change shape. You know what I'm saying? It just constantly evolves. You know what I'm saying? Like if sound waves. Hold on, bro. Fucking dog outside my door.
Hold on, let me
So,
pause it. You need me to pause?
no, he just went.
Okay.
Ariana just came and got him.
All right.
So how like you know how like sound waves can travel through walls, sound waves can travel through water. You know what I'm saying? That's no sound waves are part of the same spectrum as color. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's the furthest end of the spectrum. You know what I'm saying? So you have ultraviolet wave on this end, and you have like the highest key that dogs can hear on this other end. You know what I'm saying? But they all kind of converge in the middle. Terrence couldn't really articulate how that relates to gravity, how that relates to magnetism, stuff like that. He couldn't really articulate that. I don't think he could put his words together to really have that conversation with somebody who's a little bit more versed in some of these theories.
And that
Because
was the
all
only
of it,
thing I was saying.
all this shit is theoretical, bro. There's very little humans have proof of, bro, that we talk about. There's
And
very little, bro.
the thing about what he was doing was that it was just new thoughts that could challenge the way we actually, well, yeah, challenge the way we actually look at things and do things. And I understand the pushback, but it's also the thought that he was, hey, what if we did it this way? Could this actually be more effective going forward? You know, and again, because it's no different from Egyptology or religion or anything else, you know, they have their foothold on something, and they don't want to look at anything new.
Yeah, because what it is
It would tear down the
also.
foundation of what they have going on as well if it comes out that, you know, the stuff that he's saying could be true, and they've been holding us back further for a very, even longer time. So I don't know.
I had, you know how, and I'm not even going to dive into no conspiracy theory bullshit, none of that, but I do see correlations in a lot of the stuff that's happening in terms of gatekeeping. There's a lot of informational gatekeeping, right? And a lot of times when people kind of like fall down this rabbit hole and they start discovering new things, they immediately get shut down. They get shut up. You know what I'm saying? Or they're told they're wrong, or we've already disproved that. So quit talking about it. That type of shit. You know what I'm saying? But the average person, meaning over 80, 90% of the world population has never seen evidence of anything that they've been taught. They've just been taught it, and this has been told to be true to us. You see what I'm saying?
We can't verify a lot of this shit.
Most shit can't be verified. And like even with the moon landing shit, hell, the ISS. Like I mean, it is what it is. You either take the information and accept it as at face value, or you start questioning shit. But the thing is, like when you question it, you only question as long as it takes to get the answer. You see what I'm saying? You don't question it just into infinity, because questioning things into infinity will drive you crazy. You know, but you do ask questions and you start trying to piece together like at least a tangible answer that makes sense to you. But you can't obsess over things that you can't really prove or disprove.
That's a
And I think
fact.
that's the difference. You know, I like the idea that Terrence Howard is the guy that's kind of challenging these things.
I think
You
it's
know
dope, man. I was looking at him like, oh, look at this. He Iron Man.
what I'm saying? For real though. For real though. It's like I think it's cool because like we're in the day and age where like people be questioning shit, but don't nobody really want the answer. Or they don't want the answer they don't like. Sometimes the answer you don't like is the answer.
It's just the answer. You can't, it
Right?
changes
You don't
nothing.
got it. The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
The truth don't require your acceptance. You know, facts don't require you to accept it. Change don't require you to accept it. Change is going to show up to your door unannounced every time.
Every time.
You know what I'm saying? And that's life. You know what I'm saying? And maybe this will change the dynamic. And again, like I said, we might not live to see it, but this might be the thing to shift the paradigm. We need a fucking change in paradigm right now, bro.
Yeah, and a
Like,
lot of
look
this
where we
shit.
at. Look where we at politically. Look where we at economically. Look where
Facts.
we at socially. Like, we are literally stuck on a treadmill running, bro. We have not advanced anything. We haven't pushed the envelope forward once. This fucking bullshit AI shit they pushing ain't real AI.
It's not
But
a.
everybody's.
I was arguing with somebody. I'm like, dude, this is just a program that goes on the internet
It's
and pulls
just.
all the
It's a, it's
information.
an
It is,
algorithm. It's an
yeah,
algorithm.
it's an
It's
algorithm. This
just
is not
an
artificial
algorithm.
intelligence. This is not a
It's not
brain.
intelligent. And the thing, and the term artificial intelligence is an oxymoron.
That too.
And
Because if it's really
if
intelligent, it's not artificial.
it's artificial, it's not intelligent.
Bang bang.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you can see it, like I think that's where we have all of these different facets of industry kind of come into a stalemate, because things aren't able to coalesce anymore. It's like we see, like we can see the end of the road. We can see the bridge is broken, and we're still like high speed approaching this motherfucker, thinking we're gonna jump it, and
Yeah.
we're not gonna jump it. Instead of taking our time, say, all right, let's build this bridge. Let's construct this bridge with the new ideas and new information we have, and kind of like get us across to Terrence Howard, you know what I'm saying, and Eric Weinstein's conversation. Let's bridge this conversation. Instead, we're thinking we're just gonna jump this motherfucker. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna fuck everything up. Hence the whole, you know what I'm saying, the political climate right now. You know what I'm saying? We literally see that we have there, it's the literal example of lesser of two evils right
Yeah,
now.
yeah.
And the only reason why is because we're too dumb to say, I got the balls to say, fuck this shit. I'm gonna take it in my own hands.
Right. And or not
This
just
and that's
that, or
across
hey,
education.
not just that, but go, hey, man, this right wing versus left wing is just two different wings of the same bird. How about we do this? Let's get an independent candidate in here because the two y'all giving us are terrorists and this is trash. We need something better than this. We need to
Yeah,
put somebody
let's start
in
exploring
office
the
that's
industry.
younger, that's more astute, and really wants to change the way things run and help push the government in a
Let's
better
start.
place. And matter of fact, we need to redo this whole circuit altogether because you old motherfuckers been in office for too long and y'all taking more rights from us than y'all giving to us. Y'all giving everything away to the
And
big
there's no way,
corporations.
there's no real valid reason for me to trust the thoughts and opinions of somebody who's not going to live long enough to see the outcomes of their decisions.
Who don't
You know what I'm
care
saying?
as long as their
Like
kids benefit.
if Joe Biden and Donald Trump are the two options that we have in terms of the right and the left wing, right? And they're both so old that whatever decisions they make will have a ripple effect for decades and generations. And they don't have no reason to give a fuck about how it impacts us, because all they're doing is making financial decisions for their people. Then we got to think about us, because we outnumber them. And another thing, not to even like derail the conversation, but another thing about it is, it's like that what used to be for the people by the people is now just a corporate fucking game. And it's probably been a corporate game for at least 80 years. We got to be wise enough to kind of like vote with our dollars. You know,
No,
but
I
we
agree.
ain't we still hung up on the flashy shit they put in front of us, you
And
know.
we got two old motherfuckers in here running for office again. This shit is embarrassing, bro.
Y'all know.
It's
Look at the rest of the
embarrassing.
world. The
They
rest of the
looking at us
world,
like,
bro.
look at these clown ass niggas over here.
And they got the nerve to talk about reinstating the fucking draft. The military draft.
More weak shit.
And the crazy part about it is they could get away with it. They could get away with it.
Someone was talking to me about the presidency. They was like, "What do you think about the whole Biden administration and his son?" I said, "The irony in that." He was like, "What?" I said, "The irony in that in the 80s or the 70s and 80s, whichever one it was, you went around testifying and saying to Congress that you didn't want your kids to grow up in a racial jungle and you didn't want your kids to grow up." What was it? What did he say? Oh, that all black people were drug addicts and killers and they need to be locked up. And 20, 30 years later, we look up and your son is a crackhead. The irony in all that. I don't know how many times we keep hearing about them finding cocaine or crack in the White House. I never heard no shit like this.
Bro, all of this shit is a fucking, it's a every from the top down to the bottom, all of this shit to me is just one big ass show. It's like a we operate in a TV show. I see it every day. Like when I look around, I was driving through a neighborhood with like these big ass mansions and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking around. these neighborhoods ain't number blocks away from some street shit. But these, I'm talking about some massive homes, bro. It looked like some shit off of fucking MTV Cribs. And then it kind of got me thinking about how, like, the way all of this shit is orchestrated from the top to the bottom, it's all made to kind of like to fascinate us. It's not even made to make us believe shit. It's just made to fascinate us. What you believe is what you believe. But as long as your attention is grabbed, and as long as you're fascinated by it, you're going to buy whatever they're selling. You know what I'm saying? And I think they've gotten good at it. They've gotten so good at it. That's the whole reason why the government funded Hollywood when it did, because they knew that the potential for what they could possibly do in terms of manipulating us and grabbing our attention and selling us these narratives and these dreams would be exactly what it is today. Like we don't, as, and I don't even mean black people. I mean us as like the citizens. We don't question shit. And if anything, we want more of it. You know
That's
what
the
I'm
thing
saying?
that
Like
really
when
bothers me
social
about
media
it.
was
Like,
having.
why is no one really questioning this shit no more? The people who are in the government, the House of Representatives, the Congress, and everything, they are supposed to be working for us. We
But they
have
don't
given
have
them,
to,
they don't
because
have to no more because we
they're bought.
say it again.
They've been bought. Like corporate interest trumps public interest. The
And we
public don't
stop
we.
caring.
And we don't, and the thing is, the reason why we stop caring is because there's an information gap. There's a whole generation of people who didn't speak to the youth, who didn't share information with the youth. There's a whole gap there. So now the youth look at they this, the youth look at us like old heads, bro. They call us the old heads. You see what I'm saying? They don't trust us. They don't believe
We
us.
don't listen to them old. We don't listen to them old niggas, man. That shit old. That shit
And
old. They had their time. They had their
you know
time.
what? We have a whole, there's a whole section of us that are competing with them for the exact same attention. You know what I'm saying? You got males and females competing with each other for the exact same amount of attention instead of the OGs being OGs and teaching. Like you get to a certain point, dude, I refuse to waste and squander my position as the OG in the presence of youth. I
I
refuse to.
value that position. I value that
Man.
position. And most I would think that most guys would value that position because you're in a position now to teach guys, young guys who didn't have the leadership or the tutelage of someone older than them, a father, a brother, or uncle, some type of mentor to give it back to them. So now you have that chance to do it and do it. You're supposed to do it well. But a lot of guys, man, they turn their backs to these kids.
Question. What do you consider to be like OG age? Like what age would make you like OG?
Man, it depends because the thing about it is,
On average.
on average, I would say once you hit that like that, once you hit that 36, probably that 36, 35, 36 year old age, man, I think that's when you kind of start creeping on into that OG stage.
I agree, because that's around the time when I really started opening up my studio. I was between 32 and 36, somewhere around in there is when I started opening up my studio.
I think that's when the wisdom of a man, especially if you've been through the experiences that we've been through, we not rich or no shit like that. Being rich is something different. But the tutelage and the knowledge that you can get from somebody from your same neighborhood or grew up the same way that you did, the information that they had to give you is so pertinent to the people who are younger. When you're talking to them, you are basically giving them the script of the traps that are ahead of them and how to
Yep.
avoid it. Hey, you don't even have to do that. Do this. You don't
You
have to
give
do
them a
that. Do
map
this.
with circles and
Yeah, we can
marks to
get,
show how to
yeah.
get the pitfall so far. Yeah.
A for real map, like the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Here go the whole Bible right here. You can avoid all
And
that.
I highlighted some scriptures for you.
Yeah.
I used a highlighting mark and I highlighted some scriptures that are going to mean something. You know what I'm saying? For real.
And the ones with the
That's what
signature. The ones with the signature by them, those are the ones that I take personal. Those are the ones that work the best for me.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have OGs doing that no more. We got like the club scene is dead, but the club scene is full of motherfuckers our age hanging out with motherfuckers their age.
And I damn
But
sure
you know what
don't
I'm
want
saying?
to be in no club.
You see, you know what I'm saying? You got chicks out here showing ass, and you can't tell who is who because the young girls and the old chicks both showing ass.
Yeah, and
You know what I'm saying?
the
Like.
mothers are 36 and they want to be out because they ain't get a chance to fulfill their life of partying and hanging out. So they want to be out, and they got babies that want to be out with them as well. That want to be outside as well, not out with them, but want to be outside as well. But some of them do want to be out with their mom.
That's a cultural thing, though. You know what I'm saying? That's an American thing, bro. And that I learned that just talking to some of my foreign friends and shit like that. My friends from India, from the Emirates, from you know what I'm saying, the Horn of Africa. They all say it, like it's a strange dynamic how Americans function. Like we function in this bubble, and like we're the tourist capital of the world. Like all the tourists come from here. We like the tourism industry is marketed towards women. You know what I'm saying? Because women make more money now than ever. So like anybody, whoever make the most money that they can, that they have liquid, usually industries kind of like pander to them to get them to spend money. So because they're making so much more money now, they're being pandered to. Hey, take this vacation, go on this cruise, go do this, go do that, blow your money. You know what I'm saying? And because they're competing on all levels, because you got young women making money, older women making money, it's a lot of this money just going around, and all that money being funneled into these corporations. And us, we make our money too. We out here competing too, but we so busy competing that we don't take as many vacations. So because our money can't be funneled as easily, you know what I'm saying, they have to find other ways to kind of draw us in. And what they do by that is take relationships. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You don't got to get married, just, you know what I'm saying, pair up with this motherfucker over here, spend some money, take her on trips, buy her some diamonds, do these things. You know what I'm saying? That's the corporate interest that kind of like influence all of us to kind of keep us complacent. And now you got these old motherfuckers competing for this fucking seat that we all know is just a fucking figurehead position, but it has so much power attached to it. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's unfortunate, but
yeah, they working. They back there. They in the background working double time, my guy. They back there working double time.
Big facts.
Anything else you want to talk about, bro?
Not really, bro. I was, you know what I'm saying, like trying to contribute. I know I've been out the loop for a little bit.
It's all love. I like I said, I knew we would get some time to do the pod sooner or later. Yeah. Oh, let's hit this real quick. In the beginning, when that beef first started between Kendrick Lamar and Drake, we were doing the group text messages, right? And we were seeing what was going on. You were talking to your people down south. I was talking to some folks on the West Coast. We were going back and forth, comparing notes and saying, hey, this is what it looked like. What you hearing?
Mm-hmm.
When Kendrick decided to drop that hammer, or those two hammers at night, man, you were doing the pod. You remember that?
In real time.
Yeah. We were doing the podcast in real time. The episode was literally 3 hours or something. Yeah, right. The episode was like 3 hours or something. I chopped it down to like an hour or whatever it was. And part of that was so certain shit didn't get out because we were talking live about what was going on. All right. You said this may unite the whole South and the West Coast. I said, this is for sure going to unite the West Coast. They are going to start to move together again.
Right.
Up to date, here we are, sir.
Yeah.
That was like a month or two ago, and now we're starting to see this man. I don't know if he's going to put out an album real soon, but there's going to be a... Say what?
Drop the video.
Yeah, he's dropped the video, and he has a lot going on behind that. And a lot of guys are standing up and showing their pride for not just their city, but the state of California as well.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing to see. But the crazy part is so many of those, not so many, but a few of those guys were in Drake videos and everything like that. But you can see the tide changing of people saying, yo, I did it for this reason, or I did it for that reason. I don't really know buddy like that. And I'm a rep where I'm from to the death of it. Like, I don't care about none of that shit. Like, I'm from Cali. I'm from Compton. I'm from Watts. I'm from South Central. I'm from LA. This is where I'm really from. None of that other shit really matters, you know? And I love to see the pride that the brothers have in standing together and uniting. And I hope that it continues to keep the city united. And this, will also start like some type of intervention and quell some of the violence in some of these neighborhoods as well. Now,
Right.
have you heard anything lately as far as the South? Any of these guys getting ready to do anything big or start like some type of movement or a concert series or anything like that?
I think that right now in the South, people are still kind of hung up on the Young Thug thing. So that's kind of like really the big, that's the big thing for them. I think because Thug was the start of their moment. You know what I'm saying? So everything is really hinged on that. But I don't think that dudes are really as thirsty for a Drake feature. No, I think the Drake stimulus package is dead, done for. I don't think that Drake can lift anybody else up, so they just gonna, you know what I'm saying, dig back into their bag and do them.
Yeah.
I don't, I think the South has always been able to be self-contained and self-maintained, and Drake is probably
Absolutely.
like the hardest in a long time to really tap into them and kind of like do some shit. But I don't think that they've ever really been hurting without Drake. You know what I'm saying? I
No.
think the West Coast just probably felt more ignored the last decade or so. You know what I'm saying? Especially considering the fact that Nip was supposed to be him before he passed. You
Correct.
know what I'm saying? And because he passed, it kind of like created frustration. But because Kendrick stepped up front and kind of like took on the, you know what I'm saying? He battled the dragon. You know what I'm saying? He ain't killed the dragon, but he injured the shit out of him. He kind of like, you know what I'm saying?
Slow them
He
down.
kind of really brought him down. So that gives the West Coast some hope, gives them something to actually fuel them. Cause like I listened to that Dog Pound album, that shit hit hard. It was like a long time coming out. And maybe because I'm an old nigga and I like the Dog Pound anyway, but it's
Dog
really a good
pound.
sound. It's a good look for them. But it's just, to me, it's also an opportunity to see that there's room for that. I think the West Coast might be the first to kind of like quell all of this ageism in hip hop. I think the West Coast might be the
And
ones
I would
who
love to see it. I would love to see that. I would love to see
because
that.
that's what's really hurting hip hop, bro. But like Drake's existence is inevitable. There's always been a Drake in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? There's always been that guy in hip hop. But ageism is a byproduct of Drake's presence these days. Because Drake almost 40 years old and he's still able to kind of like function as though he's one of the youth. And I think that's what creates the ageism in hip hop. And I think that also Drake's detachment from Black American experience is also another thing that kind of like did it. But I think that the West Coast might be the one to kind of like really show that ageism is stupid. I don't know. I think the youth has already been like bonding a little bit with the OGs in the South, but people don't really take a lot of notice to it so much. You know what I'm saying? Like you have your Gucci's, you got your 2 Chainz, you got your TIs, them the OGs, you know what I'm saying? Your G's, you say the OGs. And the young guys always been rocking with them. But it's almost like a foregone conclusion for Southern artists. But I think as far as like what Kendrick is doing right now and what that means for West Coast hip hop, they're gonna show that the OGs they go further back than that can still rock, and it's gonna blend things in. The East Coast got their own shit to work out, and I think that comes from the East Coast kind of like losing their sound trying to adapt to other people's shit. But
Staying on the West Coast, do you think that West Coast rappers have usually had the better battle rap dishes?
I think they've had more battle rap disses, so it's kind of like it's hard to measure. You know what I'm saying? I think that they've been more aggressive about getting their disses off. So like their number of battle rap disses are probably a little bit more
They
memorable.
yeah, when the West Coast rappers hit, they hit hard, bro.
Yeah, they
They
pick
hit
the right
hard.
beat. They always pick the right beat. And they don't have to overcomplicate it. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna come right in and say all the shit that you need to hear to make you feel the way. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what they've always kind of elevated at. And I think that that's where a lot of artists who don't understand what the West Coast can do. That's why King of the Dot is better than URL to me. You know what I'm saying? URL is mostly gun bars to me. And the battle rap scene in King of the Dot has always been like these creative ass
Yeah,
wordsmiths.
I like that because they actually rap. And don't get it twisted and fucked up or misconstrued. I love You Are Real. I'm a Rum Nitty. I'm big on Rum Nitty, but the creativity of the other artists to only stick with gun bars and killing and shit like that, it becomes mundane after a while, and then it kind of like brings down my frequency as well. So I kind of like stay away from it. Every now and then I tune in just to see what they got going on, but I back out and I stay away from it because that's a lot to take in, man, over and over and over again. My gun
Especially
is
when
so
you
big.
live in that environment. Like you come from that environment, you can, it's relatable, but at the same time, it's like it's exhausting.
Very exhausted to hear that.
Like my gun is so big, or behind these bars, like blah blah blah, or you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. I mean, we can we
I'ma shoot you
can
so many times with the nine.
I put the 4-5 to your back like Mike Jordan's return. Got it. The fuck.
I'ma hit you so many times with the nine. You gonna look like Archie Bunker on All in the Family when your mind recline. You be like, yo, fam.
Hold on, bro. Like, really?
Fam. Fam, let
Yeah.
it go. Let it go. Y'all
But
wearing it out.
I think that the West Coast does dominate in that area, like I said, but also because they've just been more efficient at it. Like, I can't, I like the Takeover versus Ether battle. Ether kind of lends to a lot of West Coast sensibilities with the way Nas approached battling that whole. You know what I'm saying? But even it in that is like to me, neither like those are good songs, but neither one of them aged well to me. You know
Okay.
what I'm saying? It's like because for one, Takeover was aimed at multiple people,
That's what I keep telling people. Like, Jay aimed at everybody.
and Ether was direct. You know what I'm saying? Which it was supposed to be. I'll say like Beanie Sigel and Jadakiss. That was a dope battle, but it
That was
didn't go
tough.
as it could have because it was bar heavy. It was so bar heavy, and so it had some scathing bars, but it the long lifespan that it probably could have had, it wasn't about that. I appreciate that East Coast rappers are direct. They make sure that they focus on their target. You know what I'm saying? I think that West Coast rappers focus on their target, but they want to get the people involved. They want to get the people on their side. That's what I got from West Coast battle rap. When MCA Quick battled each other, they made songs that sounded like you want to bump it. You know what I'm saying? When Pop took that same sample and flipped it, that Biggie and Junior Mafia used for Get Money, and he switched it over to make it more groovy. That was so people could bump it more. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna make these motherfuckers bump your sample more than you did. And I'm gonna talk shit about you and me fucking your wife. You know what I'm saying? When Cube did No Vaseline after
Tough.
NWA did Benedict Arnold, it was like Cube took every element that they used for Benedict Arnold and implemented that into No Vaseline to show you, nigga, I'm finna step on your song. And I'm a do the Uno reverse and talk shit about you.
Right. Like I'm
You know
sitting
what I'm
down at a
saying?
table doing this shit, hanging out with the homies.
So it's like that's what the West Coast is known for, man. They gonna keep a groove going. You know what I mean?
Always. Always. Yeah, man. I think that's it for me, bro. Anything else you wanna speak
That's
on?
it, bro.
Hey,
Nah, I'm good.
man. Yeah, man. That's another one. We done here, you bitch. Remember the mission statement when you're striving for greatness. God never puts you in the driver's seat if it's taken. Ladies and gentlemen, we are done here. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Peace.